Hey everyone, welcome to M2F Story. Today I am going to share with you Wanted a Sister, Not Brother Part 2, written by Janet L. Stickney. So if you are new to the channel, then please consider subscribing. And check out my Patreon, patreon.com/M2F Story. My days settled into a pattern after that. At school, I tried to avoid trouble, but I would somehow find it. My clothes still made me stand out, and I would react to teasing. Guys were trying to impress the girls, and pushing around a wimp was always good for a laugh. I had a big mouth and could never learn to keep it shut. I was still awkward and clumsy, so phys ed was always the perfect end to a lousy day. After being picked last again, we were playing football. The team I was on lost, so I got the blame, of course. Then we were sent into showers. Naked and unprotected, I was knocked to the floor, a towel thrown over my face and several feet kicking me in the stomach. When I could stand, I limped straight to the coach, tears running down my face. "Coach Gray," I called, standing naked in the middle of the locker room, water dripping off me. He threw a towel at me. "Cover yourself up, boy," he said with contempt. "Coach, they beat me in the shower," I cried. "Who beat you?" he asked. "I didn't see them when I walked into the shower. Someone knocked me down and started kicking me in the stomach," I said, holding my stomach and rubbing my shoulder where I had fallen. "Okay, who beat up Ryan here?" he called without much concern. "My name is Brian," I said, seeing where this was going, and that was nowhere. "I saw him slip in the shower. No one was even near him," a voice in the crowd called out. "Just be careful and get ready for your next class," Coach Gray said. "That's it? You're not going to do anything?" I was shocked. "This isn't kindergarten. I'm not going to wipe your nose when you fall down. Grow up, be a man," he said, walking away. After he went back in his office, the laughing started. I dressed and went to my last class. As I got my bike from the rack and started home, I knew something was not right. About halfway home, two guys from my phys ed class jumped out of the bushes and knocked me down. Suddenly, there were four guys circling around me, but this time, I wasn't naked and unarmed. I jumped to my feet and pulled my bike lock and chain from my shoulder. It was 4 feet of heavy chain with a sturdy padlock on one end. I was swinging it at their heads, hoping to pay them back for the locker room. They finally backed off, and I got on my bike and raced home. I didn't get the chance to dress that day because Dad was home early. I explained what happened, and Dad was proud I stood up to four boys alone. That night when we sat down to dinner, the phone rang. It was the my principal. I was being suspended for attacking four boys on the way home from school. The reason they backed off was because one of them saw his mom driving up. They said I attacked them. My dad said I would be in school the next day, and he would talk to the principal then. The meeting in the principal's office was short. After hearing from the five of us, it was decided that I would not be suspended. Instead, I would see a counselor after school to deal with my violent behavior. That took care of things from the school's point of view, and for me, I just stopped showering after phys ed. The counselor I had to visit was nice. Barbara was pretty and easy to talk to. She promised that everything we said would be between her and I. We had been meeting for 3 weeks by Halloween, and I was really starting to open up to her. I told her things I told no one else. I was telling Barbara how I thought women were more complete than men. "What do you mean by that?" she asked. "Last weekend, I saw the movie One on One. It's about a college basketball player who is about to lose his scholarship. His tutor, who becomes his girlfriend, takes him in and gives him the support he needed to make it. The girlfriend was fine without him, but he was lost until he found her," I said. We talked for the rest of the hour like that. The rest of the week went pretty much the same as usual. When I showed up for my next appointment with Barbara, I was happy to see her. We talked a little more about last week and the movie. As I left with Dad, I started thinking I could tell her about my dressing in Karen and my stepmother's clothes. Just then, Dad started asking me questions he shouldn't know about. "So, how come you think women have it easier than men?" he asked. "I don't think that they have it easier. It's just without a woman, a guy doesn't seem complete," I made up quick. I didn't want to share my thoughts just then because it hit me. Barbara lied to me. She was the only person I ever told these things to. Dad could not have known unless Barbara told my secrets. Just one more person I cannot trust, so I'm back to being alone again. The next few sessions really put my imagination to the test. I made up story after story to tell Barbara. I would not trust her with anything about me. In my mind, I felt like I was drowning. I had felt Barbara was someone I could trust with my feelings, and she had betrayed my trust. My free time was still used to dress and relax. Sometimes I would just wear Gina's underwear. I used socks to fill the bra cups now. I didn't want to leave any other evidence if I could help it. Sometimes I would get fully dressed dress or skirt and blouse. I was doing much better in heels now, with all the practice I was getting, and I planned ahead for my quick change, so I would not be caught off guard again. And if that wasn't enough trouble in my life, my school thought its students needed some social interaction, so they planned a dance for the Friday during the Thanksgiving holiday. So it was decided for me that I should attend. Gina fussed over getting me ready and dressed me in my brown three-piece Sunday go-to-church suit and driven down to the school to spend the evening with my classmates in a social setting. I would rather do homework, and I hate homework. The evening started out not too bad. I drank some punch, I ate some cookies, and I was even talking to some nice girls, I thought. Then around 9 o'clock, one of the girls slipped me a note. It read, "Brian, meet me in the hall by the restrooms," and was signed Heather. Oh, Heather, blonde, blue eyes, and she really had breasts and wasn't afraid to show them. I wasn't thinking if I had been, I never would have slipped out to the hall, but I did. And then it happened when I stepped over by the boys' room, the door opened and a bucket flew out and dumped all over me. I knew immediately that it was not water in the bucket. My face and hair were drenched with urine and it ran down into my shirt and jacket. I was blinded for a minute and never saw who got me. When I could see again, it was the laughter from the cafeteria that brought home what an idiot I was. While one chaperone called my parents, another of the chaperones brought me to the office after helping rinse off the urine. My parents were at the school in a few minutes, Dad yelling, "What kind of school are you people running?" And Gina looking at the shape of my clothes after calming a little. They brought me home and put me in the shower. I went to bed after a talk with Dad. He wanted to know how I got myself into that situation. I tossed and turned for a while and finally went into a restless sleep. I was running, but I could not get away from the huge rat that was chasing me. It had to be as big as a small dog. I picked up a shovel I found and hit the rat. It stumbled to the ground but shook off the blow. I gripped the shovel like a spear and stabbed the rat in the back by its head and chopped off its head, and I thought it was over. But suddenly, I was overwhelmed by thousands of rats, and I sat bolt upright in bed, drenched in sweat. I could not sleep again for fear of the nightmare coming back. I laid awake in bed all Saturday night and Sunday night, too afraid to sleep, and on Monday, I had to face the school again. After the first two classes of name-calling and laughter, I could not take it anymore and ran home. I had had it. This all had to end. I went to Dad and Gina's bedroom and reached under the mattress by Dad's pillow, and there it was, his .38 revolver. I pulled it from the holster and just held it in my hand. I placed the barrel against my right temple and started pulling the trigger and sneezed. The gun went off and it shattered the mirror on Gina's dresser. I threw the gun on the bed and started to cry. There was only one thing I could think of doing, and that was to call my mom. "Hello," Mom's voice was so beautiful. "Mom," I sobbed into the phone, "I really need you now. I can't take it here anymore." "What's going on? What's wrong? Why aren't you in school?" Mom asked, despair in her voice. "I left school. I picked up Dad's gun. I really need you now." I started crying again. Mom finally calmed me down and told me she would be there to get me tonight and not to do anything until she arrived. I left after hanging up the phone. I didn't have my bike because it was at the school. So I walked the 10 blocks to the mall. I stayed away until 7 p.m. When I called home, Dad answered, and when he heard my voice, he yelled, "Where are you?" I said that I would be home after I found out Mom and Doug and Karen had arrived. I went to the front of the mall where the taxi stand was and asked one to take me home. Karen was out of the house before the taxi came to a full stop. Dad was right behind her. I stepped from the taxi into a warm hug like a blanket on a cold day. Dad reached for me, but Karen kept between us, protecting me. His "What was on your mind, boy?" was all it took for the tears to start again. Karen half walked, half carried me into the house where a second pair of arms squeezed me tight. Mom held me like I would disappear if she let go. Once I was seated on the couch, I started to tell everybody what had happened for the last 4 days, the dance, the nightmares, the sleepless nights, and the teasing today. I could not take it anymore. I broke down and cried some more. "Why didn't you talk about these problems with Barbara? That's what we've been paying her for," Gina asked. "You mean your paid informant? Was anything I said to her ever kept private?" I lashed out. The parents started yelling at each other like divorced people will do, blaming each other, bringing up old issues that did not belong to this issue. Mom lashed out, saying that Brian never tried to kill himself when he lived with me. I had finally reached my last nerve and snapped. I screamed, "That's enough." Taking a deep breath, I said, "I asked for you to be here so I could be honest with all of you and myself for once." I started telling everyone about last summer, and then the sleeping pills. Karen's holding me was the only thing keeping me from falling apart. I knew they were shocked because Gina did not interrupt once. Karen relaxed her grip on me for a moment to pick up her purse, and she withdrew a photograph. When she showed it to me, I buried my face in her shoulder, hugging her. It was her and I last summer when she had caught me. Debbie had taken a picture of us, and Karen had kept it with her. Karen passed the photo to Mom, who shared it with the rest of the family. I had finally reached the point of exhaustion and slumped in Karen's arms asleep. Karen laid my head in her lap while the adults went into the den to talk. I awoke first the next morning and quietly so as not to wake up Karen, who was sleeping on the other half of the L-shaped couch, and went to the kitchen for something to eat. With my head stuck in the fridge, I heard Dad behind me. "Why don't you sit at the table and I'll fix you some eggs?" "Thanks, I am still a little shaky from last night." "What happened after I feel asleep?" I asked. "Your mother and I and Gina and Doug had a long talk. Karen stuck her nose into it once she could crawl out from under you," he said. "Where are Mom and Doug this morning?" "Sleeping in your bed, I hope you have clean sheets on it." Just then, Karen joined us. "You still snore like a buzzsaw, Brian," she complained jokingly. "Can I have some eggs too?" And Dad cracked two more eggs. It was very quiet for a while. Then I asked, "So what happens now? What are you going to do to me?" "We're not going to do anything to you. We're going to try to help you, whatever that means," Mom said as she came into the room. I suddenly struck me that this was the first time in 9 years that my family was together in the same room, let alone the same state. Doug and then Gina came into the kitchen, and it started to get crowded, so Karen and I put our plates in the sink to make room at the table. Dad scrambled the last of the eggs, and I made some toast. Karen made coffee, and then it was time to make decisions. I was moving back up to New Jersey to be with Mom, Doug, and Karen. Everyone felt that a fresh start would be for the best. Mom knew some good counselors from her rotation in the psych ward at the hospital, and I would soon be seeing one. Karen said she would help me get a wardrobe of my own if I promised to stay out of her closet. Dad and Doug both looked like they swallowed a toad, but I guess that we had only been a sneeze away from my funeral kept them quiet. "So, Dr. Adams, that's where I am now. The family knows all of this. After what's happened, how could they not?" We sat there quietly for a moment as I looked at the floor between us. "Dr. Adams, I want to trust you, but it's not going to be easy. I keep thinking, are you going to betray me too?" I thought for a moment before, with a straight face and an even tone, I answered, "It was only because Karen caught me with her pants down that she learned that part of my secrets." Dr. Adams tried to stifle a giggle. "It's okay to laugh. I use bad jokes when I'm nervous, and I am nervous, Dr. Adams. My parents are paying for you to help me, but I have to trust that you're my doctor and you will keep my secrets. I have stuff I haven't shared with anyone yet, some things I'm not sure about myself yet. I promise not to do anything stupid again, but you have to understand, I'm not going to just open up right away. If you can give me some time, I might have a story to tell. Brian, I will give you all the time you need, but you have to remember to take a breath once in a while. Now, to start, can you tell me what it is that's making you feel nervous right now?" Dr. Adams asked. "Well, it's how the family is acting," I said. "And how is that? I would say they are worried about you. Is there more I should know?" she asked. "It's just Mom and Doug are acting like they're walking on eggshells. Karen's pretty cool about everything. The big thing is Dad. The look on his face when I left was like he lost his son."
"Well, you did almost end yourself."
"No, you don't understand," I interrupted. "Not me, his son. I know he loves me and that I'm still his child, but the way he acted, I know I'm not his son anymore. I'm not sure what I am. If I'm not his son, and I don't know if I'm his daughter, then what am I?" That's it for today. Hope you have enjoyed it. If you do, then be sure to subscribe for the next part of this story and show your support on Patreon.